Well, good morning. Happy New Year. 2017 is in the books and we survived it. Amen to that. There were just a whole lot of changes that happened in 2017, and I am so excited to see what the Lord is going to do with us in 2018 and what he's going to do in the life of our church. New Year's for me is one of my most favorite times of the year. Hockey season and basketball season are in full throw. We've got the college national championship game right around the corner. The NFL playoffs are happening, and everyone is starting to make resolutions. And one of the things that anybody that goes to the gym will tell you is that from now until the first week in March, that place is going to be so crowded because of all the people that have decided that they are going to get in shape this year. And so many of us are just praying that their intestinal fortitude drops off quickly so that we can get on the machines we want. Isn't that right, Patrick? One of the things that we are looking forward to is we're each trying to do whatever we can to give this new year our best shot. Whether our resolution is to be on time or to get back in shape, maybe it's to eat healthier, to be more generous or financially responsible, our new years are always filled with optimism. And today we're going to look at what 2018 is going to hold for us at FBC Lake Dallas. And no matter what things we do in this coming year or how our church does things, what events and functions we put on, one thing will continue to remain the same, and that is the mission and vision of First Baptist Church Lake Dallas: to love God, to love others, and to serve the world. I want you guys to say that with me. Our mission and vision at First Baptist Church Lake Dallas is to love God, love others, and serve the world. That's it. That's what it's been now for going on 6 years, and it's encouraging to me as a pastor to see how we've really begun to grasp that within the last few years. What we're going to talk about this morning is re-upping and reinvesting into that vision, why it is so imperative and why it is so important that we as a church not only understand what that is, but really grab a hold of it. Because those three little things, to love God, to love others, and to serve the world, can have such a tremendous impact on our community. They can have such a tremendous impact in our households, and they can have such a tremendous impact on the people who are coming here, who are looking for that missing piece that we know is Jesus Christ. If you would grab your Bible or your smart device, I want you to find the book of Matthew chapter 22, and that's where we're going to have part of our study this morning. There's a concept within organizational leadership that is known as the golden circle. And what the golden circle is it's a foundational concept on which organizations base their mission and vision statements. You see, I think one of the things that's important for us as a church is that as we move forward, that we're looking at things that are applicable, not just in our church and in our spiritual lives, but also things that we can take home with us that we can apply in different areas of our lives. And I believe that this is one of the concepts that's applicable for us in many different areas. And I truly believe that if we are given practical and pragmatic applications of biblical concepts, that we'll take them and be able to execute them a lot better. We want to be a church that teaches biblical principles and concepts that can be taken home and applied wherever we may go. One is that we can have a better understanding of how we operate as a church. So we're going to pull back the curtain just a little bit and let you know why it is that we do some of the things that we do, why they're important to us as a leadership staff, why they're important to us as a church body. One of the other reasons we want to do this is because I believe that leadership is most effective and most inspiring when it answers questions on its own. Not just before somebody asks the question, although that can be something that's very good and very beneficial. But one of the things that I think that really makes leadership its best is when you answer a question and people go, well, I hadn't thought about that. Leadership is its most effective whenever we're able to do that. And one of the things that the golden circle that this concept is supposed to do is begin to answer some of those questions. You'll see it here on the screen. The golden circle is actually three circles into one. It kind of looks like a target. And there are three questions that we have to answer: the what, the how, and the why. The first question is, what is our mission? We've stated it several times this morning already. It's to love God, to love others, and to serve the world. The second question is how we achieve that mission. And the third and the most important is, why must we accomplish our mission? You see, most churches know their what. Most organizations can tell you what the mission of that organization is. They can tell you what their mission is. And most growing churches can even tell you how they're going to achieve their mission. But the churches that are most effective can tell you why it is that that mission must be accomplished. See, the churches that fall into that last category don't only have great success as far as their attendance and their membership go and those kind of things, but they have the most success in their outreach and their ability to impact their communities and the way that they spread the gospel to those that need it in their areas of influence. And that is the number one, that is the most important thing that we're set out to do. When Christ established the local church, he did so in such a way that the church was supposed to be the hope of the world. It was supposed to be the light-bringing place in the communities that it was planted in. If we were to examine this golden circle closer as a church, or what does it look like for First Baptist Church Lake Dallas, we already know our mission. Love God, love others, and serve the world. We know it inside and out. We've grasped it. We've embraced it. We're figuring out exactly how to execute it, and that takes us to that next step of how is it that we accomplish this mission? How are we going to be able to love God, to love others, and to serve the world? If you've been here at all over the past year, you've heard me say some things in every single sermon that I've preached. There's a few things that I try to do in every sermon that I preach. One is that I want to give a true exegesis of the scripture. And basically what that means is that I don't want to take a scripture out of context. I want it to breathe and to say exactly what it is that it's supposed to mean. The second thing that it has to be in every single sermon for me is there has to be a very clear presentation of the gospel, because if we're not telling people about Christ, if we're not preaching the gospel, then all we're doing is coming in here and trying to do stuff to edify one another. And while that can be okay, that's not what we were commanded to do. And the last thing that has to be in there is our church mission to love God, love others, and serve the world, because it has to be ingrained in us and it has to be part of our culture. So you'll have heard me say every week, we have to love God, love others, and serve the world. And you'll have heard me say these other phrases, that we do so by being obsessed with the gospel, diligent about discipleship, and passionate about evangelism. You see, if we pour ourselves into the gospel, if we really dig into what it was that Christ says, it captivates our hearts and minds. What he does can blow our mind in the way that it can captivate our imagination, and the power of the gospel and the passion that Christ had for us will deepen our love and understanding of God, and it feeds the mission of our church. When we dedicate ourselves to the study of the scriptures, when we're diligent in our discipleship, we deepen our own understanding of God, but we also understand how imperative that it is that younger believers, that people who don't know Christ, are able to know the same things that we know. It forces us, it causes us to want to mentor younger people. It causes us to want to pour into those who are growing in their relationship with Christ, who need examples of how to love greater, of how to become obsessed with the gospel themselves, and how to disciple others. We've talked about it several times, and we call it the concept of holding the flashlight. You've heard me tell the story a few times if you've been here, that whenever I was a young man and we worked on the cars at our house, that my dad made me hold the flashlight whenever I was young. I didn't get to do any of the work. I had to hold the flashlight, and I couldn't turn any of the wrenches, and it drove me crazy. And so the first time that I got to turn a wrench and he held the flashlight, I was so excited. And then after that, he let me do projects on my own. And then the next step was that he would do something and I would take one of my younger brothers, and it was their turn to hold the flashlight. See, it's become kind of a running joke in our family that if somebody needs help with something and, hey, I need this and this to happen, I'm like, all right, I'll come over and I'll help, but I'm not holding the flashlight. That's on you. I get to do the work. And that is a portrait of discipleship, is that I watch while you do, and then you do while I watch. And then the last step is to take them, and then you do and let somebody else watch. And that's what discipleship looks like. And just like in that little time when I really, really wanted to be the one to work on the cars, to really get my hands dirty, discipleship should force us, it should compel us to want to do the same thing, to want to do the things that Christ has asked us to do. When we're passionate about evangelism, we're moved to action in such a way that it causes us to go to the places that others aren't willing to go, to work in places that others are afraid to work, to preach the gospel to those who others will never go to. See, we accomplish our mission to love God, to love others, and serve the world when we are obsessed with the gospel, diligent about discipleship, and passionate about evangelism. Many churches know their mission. Some even know how that mission is accomplished, and that's where we are, and we're already ahead of the game. But this morning, I want us to focus on why it's imperative that we accomplish our mission. And that's what we're going to focus on today. Why we must accomplish the mission is the most important part of the Golden Circle, because it is the motivator, it is the driving force behind everything that we do. You see, here in Lake Dallas, if you don't know, some of the statistics in our area are staggering. Close to 40% of citizens in Lake Dallas have said that they've struggled with some sort of addictive substance, whether it be alcohol, a recreational narcotic, or a prescription pain pill. Close to 40% have done that. Almost half of the kids in Lake Dallas are falling into the category of orphan, and we talked about whenever we studied the book of James that true religion that pleases God the Father is to take care of orphans and widows in their distress and to keep our way unstained by the world. Close to half of the children in Lake Dallas fall into that category of orphan, which means they've been abandoned by at least one of their parents. One of the other things that we have to look at whenever we talk about what it means to love God, love others, and serve the world, when we talk about how imperative it is that we accomplish our mission as a church, is the poverty level that we have in this city. Our median income is below all others in our area. And it's not because we live in a bad place. It's because God has given this church an opportunity to be able to be a light to people that need it. See, the reason that it is imperative that we accomplish our mission is because of the place that we've been planted. But the first reason that we have to accomplish it, if we're to look at it, is because we were told to. We were given a directive. If you would open your Bible to Matthew chapter 22, we're going to start in verse 34. In verse 34, Jesus is speaking and he's talking about the primary commandments. He's finding himself in a place where he's being challenged over and over again by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And picking up in verse 34, it says, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, an expert in the law, questioned to test him. He said, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" Now listen to the words of Christ. He said to them, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands." You will not find it more plainly stated at any point in the Bible than to love God and to love others. In Galatians 5:13, Paul tells us, he says, "For we were called to be free brothers, only don't use that freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love." See, our mission is founded in the Bible, and it is a directive that was given to us. Paul's talking about the freedom that we are given through salvation, that through grace, that he says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And because of that freedom that we were given, we have to make a choice to serve one another through love. Grace was given to us not because of anything that we did, but because of what Christ was willing to do for us. And Paul is telling us not to take advantage of that, but to use it as an opportunity to serve others. The first reason why we have to accomplish our mission is because we were told to. Christ gives us a clear command. Paul illuminates it further, and we have to serve one another. We have to love one another, and we have to love God. Our first reason is because we were commanded to accomplish this mission by the author and perfecter of our faith. I don't know about you guys, but I have a little bit of a rebellious streak. Have since I was young. And so when somebody uses, especially my parents, you can ask them, my parents or any manager that I've ever had, whenever they say, you should do this, and I say, why? And they say, because I told you to. That only works for me so far. It's only done so good in my life to get the because I told you to excuse. Because I want to know why. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste the times of others. And you can ask my parents that there have been many times where that because I told you to turned into come to my room, we need to have a chat. Didn't end well for me very often. But there is more to it than just because we were given a directive because we were told to. The second reason that we have to accomplish our mission is because there's a need for it. I've already outlined some of the staggering statistics in our community, but one of the reasons that we know that there's a need for it is because we're being told about it. For those of you who don't know, we've partnered with the city of Lake Dallas on a few projects. And one of the things that as a pastor that I have to walk the balance of, and I've talked with several people about this in the last few weeks, is that people want to know what's going on, what we're doing about outreach and how we're reaching people in our community. And I think that that's an awesome and wonderful thing. And we want to be able to partner with our community. But what I don't want us to do is for us to be one of those churches that talks about every good thing that we do. Anything that we do that seems like it can slant itself to where it works in our way and in a way of publicity or something that people can look at and be like, wow, look at how great those people are over there. That's not what we're about. The Bible is really clear that when we do good deeds, that we shouldn't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, and that we should do so in a way that is only for pleasing God the Father. But I also know that it's important that we talk about what those things are, because every one of us wants to be involved in a church that is doing something and doing good and making an impact. So while we're not going to broadcast all of this stuff, I think it's important that we as a church body know some of the things that are going on. One of the deals that we've had the opportunity to do is to partner with the city of Lake Dallas and their code enforcement teams. Where there are people in our community that are having difficulty bringing their houses up to code, we get to partner with them. If it's because they're physically unable to do so, if it's because they're financially unable to do so, we have the opportunity to partner with them and to send our men's group out or people in our church out to go and to take care of that. Whether it's to clean up debris, whether it's to fix fences, whether it's to help people. We helped a lady put a door back on her house a couple of weeks ago because her door wasn't there and we were getting ready for a cold snap. Because of the partnership that we have, because we know what's been going on in our community, we have the opportunity to partner with him. And as a matter of fact, Jason Swan is going to be heading up a project this week. If you don't know who Jason is, he's right over here, big tall guy. He's the handsome fellow by the secretary. Jason's heading up a project at the end of this week to help out one of the families in our community. And if you want to be a part of that, you can come find him after the service. We have an elder care program that's headed up by Marsha McRemmon, that if there are elderly people in our community that are having difficulty, they can't get supplies for themselves, or they're having trouble getting from point A to point B, we partner with the elderly in our community and help them to be able to take care of those things. Our community, the city, reaches out to us because they know that we have these programs so that we can go and be there. We know the needs of the people in our community because the people in our congregation who are incredibly compassionate and caring and who fall into those categories of being obsessed with the gospel, diligent about discipleship, passionate about evangelism, who are driven to love God, love others, and serve the world, are doing that in our community. We're constantly praying for them in prayer meeting. And while being told what somebody's physical needs are and how to meet them is effective, that there is this desperate and real need for the gospel wherever we go, and we have to become attentive to that. Because there is a real need for the love of Jesus Christ in this community. I've lived in the city of Lake Dallas for a few years now, and I can tell you there are hurting people all over this place. There are people who are struggling financially. There are people who are struggling with addiction. There are people who are living in broken homes, and there are houses that are being broken down. We have people who are struggling with recreational substances and alcohol, people who are struggling with their identity and who are trying to figure out where and how they fit in this world. There are people in our city who don't know where they're going to get their next meal, how it's going to come, or if it's going to come. All those people are sitting there in despair, and there is one thing and one thing only that they can turn to. I was talking to a lady a couple of weeks ago, and she says, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to find happiness again if I ever experienced it at all. There is one cure for a broken heart and a broken home and a broken person. And that is the love and care of Jesus Christ. That's right. And as his people, it is our responsibility to take that to our community. The love of Christ, the indwelling of the Spirit of God in someone's life can change them in amazing and unimaginable ways. And there is a serious and dire need for it in our community. It is impossible to deny. The need for it is everywhere. It's in our city. For many of us, it's in our homes. And for those of us who are investing, we know that it's here in our church. We will never, and I'm going to use a double negative here, so all you grammar people get ready to cringe, but we will never not need Christ. there's never going to be a time in our lives where we do not need the love and care of Jesus Christ. And if we think that we do, one of the things that I have learned over and over and over again is when I feel like I'm not desperate for Jesus, he will let things happen to me to make sure that I know that I am. Amen. See, John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to kill and to steal and to destroy, but I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. Those are the words of Jesus Christ, and that is the reason why we must accomplish our mission, because there are people who have let thieves into their lives. They've let thieves of addiction. They've let thieves of abuse. They've let thieves that have gotten into their homes and are stealing their joy and killing their self-worth. There are thieves that are taking the innocence of the children in our community, and it's destroying households. And the love of Jesus Christ can overcome it, and it can change it. And the very last reason that we must accomplish our mission to love God, love others, and serve the world. We were given a command to do it. We know that there's a need for it. But the last reason that we must accomplish our mission is because we have experienced the love and grace and mercy of Christ in our own lives. And we know the power that it has. Amen. And for us to be silent about it is for us to deny what it was that Jesus did for us and what he gave us. Revelation 12:11 says that they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives in the face of death. The hymn here that it's talking about is the devil. The devil is overcome by the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus did on the cross, and the word of our testimony. And there are benchmark moments in each and every one of our lives that we can look to, that we can point to and say that God was undoubtedly a part of this. This could not have happened if God wasn't involved. For me, one of those benchmark moments is when I was 4 years old. We lived in Hawaii. I had two younger brothers, and I felt like our family would be complete if I had a little sister. And so I prayed and prayed and prayed that I would have a little sister, and my parents laughed, and they thought it was so cute that their little toe-headed baby was praying for a little sister. And then 2 weeks before we left to come home, here she came. There's some prayers that we regret, church. But I will tell you, that's a benchmark moment for me. And that every time she ignores one of my calls, I got to tell her, hey, listen, I prayed for you to be here. You better call me back. But on the other side, every time I see that name come up there, that is one of the reminders of God's goodness and his faithfulness. There have been times when I've needed something and God's provided that exact thing, whether it was funding while I was on mission. Sometimes it was a phone call from a friend. It may have been an encouraging message. We have moments in each of our lives that we can point to. Maybe God got you through some financial struggles. Maybe God put somebody in your life that was able to fulfill a need for you. Maybe you were lost in an addiction or a bad relationship and God took something and pulled you out of there. Maybe you were in a place where you couldn't see a way out and God provided a light and a way to get out of there. See, we all have a story to tell, and our testimonies are the stories of what God has done in our life, and no one can tell us what God has done for us and in us and through us. See, part of the thing that should motivate us to fulfill the mission of this church is because of what God has done in our own lives. 1 John 4:19 says, we loved because he loved us first. We are able to love God because while we were still enemies with him, Christ came and died for us. The third part of that why, the grace and the blessing that we have experienced in our own lives, that is the middle of the golden circle. Because Christ loved us first, we are able to love him. Because what he has done for us, we realize that there is a need. And because we have had that need in our own lives fulfilled, we've seen how much he has done for us whenever we didn't deserve it. Because he gave his life for us before we ever knew him, we are compelled to follow his commands, to be like him and to pursue his righteousness. See, those moments in our lives, those benchmark moments should drive us and compel us to be holy because Christ is holy. It should deepen our obsession with the gospel. It should drive us to be more diligent about the way that we disciple others and the way that we disciple ourselves. And it should make us want to be passionate about evangelism so that people in our community that do not know and have not experienced the love and grace in Jesus Christ, who are sitting and who are broken and who are trying to figure out what it is that they need, what that missing piece is, that he is able to work through us in order to get to them. not just so that they can have eternal life, but so that they can have hope for now. Romans 10, 14 through 18, Paul is sending a message to the Romans, and this is what he says. But how can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. But all did not obey the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Yes, they did. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the inhabited world. See, they don't get to know about Jesus unless somebody goes and tells them. That is our responsibility. It is our privilege to get to do it as followers of Christ. To love God, to love others, and to serve the world. If we're going to make that happen, we have to know how to accomplish that mission, and we accomplish that mission by being obsessed with the gospel, diligent about discipleship, and passionate about evangelism. We know why we must accomplish that mission. We know how imperative it is because we've experienced that love and grace and mercy in our own lives, and we can see the need for it in the lives of other people. And because of that, we are compelled to do the things which Christ commanded us to do. When we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives and we pledged ourselves to him, we gave him authority over us. And when that authority says, I need you to go, I need you to tell other people about me, I need you to tell them about the sacrifice of my son, we made a commitment to follow those commands. Today marks the start of a new year for us as a church, the first Sunday of 2018. Our resolution as a body should be to create a culture that is centered around Jesus Christ and around this mission that he has given us. A culture where we are a people who are identified by the love that we have for one another, by our generosity, by our discipleship, by our passionate desire to live righteous lives. We're defined by the compassion that we have for others. In church, we must establish and invest in a culture that is stronger than all of the forces that are trying to work against it. We have to establish a love for Christ that is stronger than everything else that is trying to work against the people in our community and the enemy as he is running rampant in the city of Lake Dallas. But it has to start now. It has to start today. Each and every one of us has to make the decision, resolve within ourselves to do that. We have to choose not the things of the flesh, but to serve one another in love, like Paul said. We know how to do it. We have to be driven by the why. As our relationship with Christ deepens, that we are more and more compelled to fulfill this mission, because not just it's what we were instructed to do, because it is what our community needs. That's what we need from each other. There is no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. Every one of us has had somebody prop us up, and every one of us who has been a believer knows that there are times when we are broken and hurting and have no idea which way is up. The Bible tells us that one of the ways that we serve one another is to bear each other's burdens in love, to help one another out. In 2018, if we really want to do something that impacts our community, if we really want to make a difference in Lake Dallas, all we have to do is fulfill the mission that Christ has already given us and laid before us. We have to realize the urgency and the necessity of the gospel in our community. And we have to let it compel us to action. Or else everything else that we've done is just a bunch of cute words. And that's not good enough. Don't just tell me, show me. And it's time that we start showing our community what we really mean and what we're really about. You guys pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for the desire that you have put in us to to fulfill this mission, God. We thank you that you have shown us the ways to do it. And Lord, we thank you for your Son, that without him, that we would have nothing, that we would still be struggling and striving to find ways to do on our own, that we would be still in the sacrifice, that we would still be under a law that we would never be able to live up to. And instead, there was this perfect marriage of divinity and dust that became Jesus Christ. And in the midst of that, God, that justice and righteousness, that wrath and grace came together on the cross when Jesus took our place. Father, we thank you for everything that you've done in us and everything that you're continuing to do. Embolden us to accomplish the mission that we have. Father, give us the courage and the strength to be the people that we need to be in this community. And Lord, as your Spirit works through us this morning, bring to mind the people that we know that don't know you, God. Help us to lift them up in prayer. Help us to invest in their lives and help us to be able to tell them about you, to invite them into relationship with Christ, invite them to church, God, that they would come to know you and that many this year would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If there are any who do not know you this morning, God, I just pray that as your Spirit works on them, that you would give them the courage to come down and to ask you into their heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.